proclaim it today. We thank you in this Thanksgiving season, Lord, that you are good to us, that surely goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives, that we would one day dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, Lord, and to experience that right now. And I ask, Lord, that as we open your word, that God, that you would show us great and mighty things from it today. I pray, Lord, in your name, that Father, as we open it, that we would truly believe this word today. And so that we're not just believing in Jesus, we're not just believing in God, we're not just believing in him, we are believing him. We are believing what your word says about you, about us, and what you've called us to. And so I ask that as we open this word this morning, that you would come and do your greatest work in your people here. I pray, Lord, that the word would sanctify us. I pray that it would restore souls here today, that it would rejoice hearts, that it would enlighten eyes, that, Lord, that it would make wise the simple. I ask, Lord, that we go from here today, having read your word, knowing that we have a word from you to live on. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his great sake and name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's actually in your notes. It will be on the screen. This is the annual Thanksgiving message that I've just been preaching for many, many years. I had an experience with the Lord about 11 years ago around my birthday time. And it just propelled me into a journey that I just call the Thanksgiving journey. For those of you who do not know, and if you weren't here last year or the year before, I do all my just kind of self-reflection about the week before my birthday. Don't do it at New Year's or New Year's Day and all that. And just do a reflection. Buy a new journal. I begin to ask God, what could God do? And those are the days that I just kind of put some goals together and just prayer lists together of how I'm just seeking the Lord and what I'm asking God to do. And this year, I just threw it all out. And I just was prompted to ask the Lord, Lord, this year, I just want to respond four ways this year. To every circumstance, whether good, whether bad, whether ugly, whether hard, whether difficult. And the first thing was, God, I want to thank you in everything. No matter what's happening. Again, things that are hard, thank you. Things that are difficult, thank you. Things that are easy, things that are good, things that are great. Things that come my way that are just really, really troubling. Could my first response to everything that comes my way be thank you? Second, could it be, Lord, not only do I thank you, but I declare in the circumstance, in the situation, that you're Lord, that you're God, that you're sovereign in these days, and that I can trust you. And then, Lord, in these circumstances, may I just love well. May I love you. May I love what's before me, whether it's hard, whether it's difficult. May I love that person that's before me. And then the fourth thing I just said, Lord, I just want to be led by your Spirit. And just remembering in those days that as I began that journey, that I just spent week after week, month after month of that year getting just to the first point of that, to thank him for everything, in everything, for everything. And it was something that was just really just an eye-opener for me, because I started making this statement, supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. Now, you know that I'm not a name-it-claim-it, you know, I'm not a blab-it-grab-it, I'm not that, okay? You know that. But I was just seeing something at work in my heart, in my life, that was very significant as I chose to not grumble, not complain, not whine at all the things that go on in my life. But perhaps I would just dare to say, God, thank you for that. Thank you for this. And I got to tell you, some of these times it was very, very uncomfortable, because it's like, what kind of guy thanks God for that? In those hard, hard circumstances. And I just began that journey. And, you know, I know that this passage is familiar, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Interesting, is it not? In everything, give thanks. In all that's happening in your life. I mean, it's really easy to come to the end of the year and celebrate what we celebrate during Thanksgiving. It just is. It's something that we've done all of our lives, right? I mean, my earliest memories is going to my grandparents' house in Georgia or somewhere in Georgia, because they moved around a bunch, and we spent the week with them. Hands down, favorite holiday. Hands down. And as much as corporate America tries to, you know, do something with it to make money, all they can do is sell turkeys, right? That's all they can do. Can't commercialize Thanksgiving. And I think there's just something to that. I think it's something that's lost in the old nature. That when something's going on, that when something's happening that we don't like, we grumble and complain instead of thank God for His sovereign work in our lives right now, right here. Now, you know, I want to do something a little different this year, because when I look at this, I just got kind of 2 points. Number one, disaster follows an ungrateful heart. Okay. It does. And then blessings and miracles follow the grateful heart. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. A few months ago, we looked at this on a Wednesday night. And so feel really good to talk about this right now. And you'll understand this, because this is a hard passage of Scripture. Especially with all the things that are going on in our culture and our world. That, by the way, is nothing new. Okay? It's just nothing new. And I want you to look at verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now we know in Scripture that Jesus is the truth, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17, He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Okay, what you say is the truth. Jesus the truth, word the truth. And He says that the wrath of God comes against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Now watch verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, because God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Now here's the point. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. They did not worship this great God, who in their heart knew something about Him, at least knew something about this God. And they stopped, or they chose not to honor Him or to thank Him. And what happens is, it's just this downward spiral of ungrateful hearts to God. And think about that in your own life. I mean, what has grumbling and whining about things ever accomplished in your life? It doesn't accomplish anything. Matter of fact, it gets worse and worse the more I complain. Am I not right? I know that goes for me. Maybe you're different. But I know it doesn't work. There's no joy in it. There's no happiness in it. There's just this negativity about it. And He's saying, listen, this is what happens. Wrath of God's revealed. They suppress the truth. Even though they knew God, they didn't honor Him as God or give thanks. Now, but watch. Look at the disaster that takes place. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise. They became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God, the one we just mentioned earlier, right before worship in Exodus, the glory of God, for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore, here's the second, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Watch, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And I want to suggest to you it all started with ungrateful hearts. Suppress the truth. Don't walk in the truth. We listen to the lies of the enemy. Get our feelings hurt. We tit for tat. We walk in anger. We walk in bitterness. We become selfish in so many ways because we're not thanking and honoring our great God in all the circumstances of this life. And what Paul is saying to the Romans, he says, listen, the wrath of God is being poured out. They're worshiping, they've exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they're worshiping man, they're worshiping creation. And then the Bible says in 24, then God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worship to serve the creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. They're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Where did it start? Ungrateful heart. We no longer honor God. We honor man, the ideas of man, the things of creation. And that's what we're seeing today in our society. A lip service to God, and yet no heart service to our great God. No worship. It's gone. It's done. Not seeing it. And I ask the question, why are we so surprised in this day? But I want to suggest to you that even though we look at this whole kind of wrath of God on the sons of disobedience and all of those things, the scripture always says, I have better things for you. That's not the way we go. That's not the way we live. We don't affirm it. We don't agree with the abominations of the nations. We just don't do that. We have the truth of God and what God says about life, what God says about sin, and the remedy of sin, that Jesus Christ is the truth. His word is the truth. Therefore, we follow that with everything that we are for the rest of our lives. Amen. But if you look at it in your own life in a very micro way, we're looking at something, you know, big, right? But in a very micro way, when I look at my life and the seasons of my life, and I look back over the seasons that were hard, that were difficult, that were full of sin, that were full of rebellion, I was nowhere in a place of being grateful and thankful and worshiping my great God. And if you look back over your seasons of hardship and the things that have been taken away from you and the way that you have responded to them, far from a grateful heart, it just seems like we head down a road that does not glorify God. Disaster followed and follows ungrateful hearts. Hard things come. And we get to places that we ought not be. And the remedy is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by which we worship Him forever. Even when it is hard, even when it is difficult. We saw that last week in this phenomenal response of Job, who Job worshiped when everything was taken away from him. That was his initial response. Shaved his head, tore his robes, fell down on his face, and he worshiped the living God. And he said, naked I come from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Watch, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the scripture says that his latter end was greater than his beginning. That when he confessed, if you remember from last week, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And then another, I know my Redeemer lives, and he will take his stand on the earth. This man who knew God and who knew his destiny and where he was headed, and it wasn't the pit. He worshiped. He gave praise. He honored his great God. Disaster follows an ungrateful heart. But I'm telling you, blessings and miracles follow the grateful heart. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, one of the most, pointed passage of scripture on giving thanks to God. Verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. 10 men with leprosy. Now, let me just tell you, leprosy is an infectious bacterial agent that attacks the nervous system. It, even in those days, it didn't kill you, but it never ended. For years, it causes tissues of the body to degenerate and deform the body. It spreads by multiple skin contacts as well as droplets from the upper respiratory tracts of people's lungs. Its symptoms start with the skin and the outside, and then outside the brain and spinal cord, and then spreads to other parts of the body, hands, feet, face, earlobes. Often there's disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting the limbs, curling the fingers, facial changes that includes thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose. Tumor-like growths may form on the skin. And then there's this deformities that all of a sudden just lose the sensation of pain or feeling, so that oftentimes they'll hit their hands and their feet, and it doesn't cause pain, and it furthers more degeneration of the body, disfigurement. And like all leopards, these 10 men who approach Jesus are outcasts because it's contagious. Leper colonies, poverty, nothing sanitary about it. And I don't know how the 10 of them got out of the colony, but they're out of the colony, and they see Jesus, and they know about Jesus, and they've heard about Jesus, and the first thing they cry out for is the mercy of God. And it's interesting because God does it. Jesus does it. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. But here's the interesting part of the story. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now watch this. Here's the miracle. Here's the blessing. And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. What's interesting, he's not talking about physical healing here. Your faith, the word is sozo, your faith has saved you. which is a greater miracle than the healing of leper, of being healed from leprosy. It's the eternal life with God that he captured. Why? Because he just went back and he thanked his God. And supernatural things happen when you have a grateful heart. Blessing and miracles follow this man. The other nine, touched, healed, but they don't come back. And there's just one that he says, your faith has saved you. Amen. Wonderful things happen to those who thank God for everything. They just do. And it may not be immediate. It may be a while. But as we continue to do what Job did in the midst of his suffering and the loss and the health issues that he faced, and his friends just not being very friendly, the emotional abuse, the hardship, all those things where he maintains his integrity. He doesn't sin. He doesn't complain. Doesn't do any of those things. He worships God. He gives thanks. You know, it's interesting because when I look at Scripture, and when we look at Scripture, we ought to be impressed about how these men and women of faith lived extraordinary lives. They believed God. They believed Jesus. They believed his word. They believed where they were headed. They knew they were headed to something that was eternal, that was wonderful, that was alive. And they kept the faith. That's how they persevered. Because God offers us something better. And we know. We just know. Just like Job knew. We just know. And I think about it with me for just a moment. I mean, think about John 6. Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish. He feeds 5,000 men and their families with 12 baskets. The miracle found in the gratefulness of just 5 barley loaves and a few fish that feeds a multitude of people. Jonah 2:9. After 3 days in the belly of a fish. I mean just not wanting to go to Nineveh. I mean not just wanting to do the assignment that God has for him. Because he doesn't like Assyrians. He doesn't like Ninevites. And he knows that God's a merciful God. And he just doesn't want to see him saved. So he heads as far as he can. And God appoints a fish or appoints a storm. And in the storm they throw him over. He is swallowed by a fish. And he's there for 3 days. And then finally, he gives thanks. And when he gives thanks, the fish vomits him to the shore. I know there's some New Testament figurative prophecy about Jesus, but I got to thinking, maybe it took 3 days for the fish to get back to the shore that he left. So he spits him out, and he takes him to Nineveh. He goes straight to Nineveh and begins preaching. And there's national revival. Even if he didn't like it, God worked. Blessed the thanksgiving. Blessed the thankful heart. John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. Jesus showing up late, gives thanks, and Lazarus comes forth. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus gives thanks for the broken body, spilt blood of his body and his life, and salvation is offered to the whole world. Blessings and miracles follow the grateful heart. Try it. Just try it. Just walk in it. Because in the midst of the hard, in the midst of the difficult, there's always something good happening if you're in Christ. The very thing that's hard, God is at work. And you know, just kind of a same along the lines of last week when we said that Job knew, in every single person in Scripture that does this, that thanks God in the good, the bad, the hard, the difficult, they just know. For instance, James knew. Just like Job knew in worship, James knew and considered it all joy. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Not just one. various. This is what we know. We know that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and that endurance will have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Wow. James knew. The brother of Jesus knew that in the midst of various trials, various temptations, various hardships, that he can consider it all joy. And it's interesting, I thought that consider was the same kind of word that's used when he says that Jesus reckons us as righteous, or God reckons us as righteous when we believe. But that's not the word. The word is be led by joy. That's what it means. To be led by joy into the fire. To know that this great God uses our difficulties for his glory. James knew. James understood, just like Job. You know, Paul and Silas believe that. Interesting story. Acts chapter 16, if you would. Acts chapter 16. They understood. I mean, this is a horrible day for the bodies of Paul and Silas. It's a hard, hard day. I mean, they're preaching the gospel. They're in Macedonia. They're in Philippi. I mean, they've already had a convert, Lydia, and some of the women that worshiped with her. And Paul casts out a demon of this girl, And after several days of just annoyance, and the master saw that this girl now could no longer make them money out of her demon possession. So they get upset. They get angry and brought accusation. And in verse 22, the Bible says that the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrate tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them, you know, caning, that's what it is, just a cane. You know, have you ever heard that? People cane people, okay? Not very comfortable. Very hard. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And having such received a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Some people believe that that was the sewer part of the prison. Okay. Awful, awful place. You know, I don't know about you, but my flesh would just really want to cry out to God and say, God, am I not doing what you've called me to do? I mean, I've left my home, and I've left these things, and I've left these things that were once precious to me, and I've got you now, and I'm out here doing these things for you, and all I'm finding is beatings, stoned. I don't know if this is the third time he's been beaten by rods, but he'll be beaten three times. And there'll be people after him the rest of his life, threatening. But no, they don't do that. About midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were, watch, praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were fastened. And when the jailer awoke, saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Then why did he do that? Because this happens to a jailer where everybody escapes. What they do to them is worse than death. So he's just going to get it over. Paul knows this. Paul understands this. He cries out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And he called for lights, rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow. And he gets saved, and his whole household gets saved. Because a couple of guys and maybe a couple more people with them, after being beaten, would praise God, sing praises, and pray. And I'm going to tell you this, and talk about being saved. Because they ask, What shall I do to have what you have? Because I've never, ever seen anybody respond to beating in chains like you have. I have beaten you half to death, and yet you've stayed. You've not escaped. My life is saved. What my body is saved. What must I do to see my soul saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your household. Miracle, salvation, first converts, first church, planted. Because knowing God and all that He does for you and for me is better than not knowing Him. Right? He prays, he worshiped. They knew, they understood that the kingdom of God would be advanced, that the kingdom of God be advanced in their hearts and advanced in life as they followed their great God and would respond the same way that their great God and Savior Jesus Christ. They knew. Paul and Silas knew. They prayed, they worshiped the Lord with songs of praise. Can you imagine you doing that today? Worshiping God, giving thanks to God. Your first response when hardship comes, we'll worship our great God. We will thank Him. We will sing praises. We will continue to fulfill the assignments that God has given to us in this life, in the kingdom of God, so that we see the kingdom advanced in our lives and in the lives of others. They knew. I mean, even Jesus, right? John chapter 12, verses 27, when he says, the hour is come. It's come. And what should I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour I've come. Father, glorify your name. And God says, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. Now, let me just stop here for a moment before we finish this up. Just a few minutes. What if a whole congregation of people would decide that they're going to praise God. They're going to thank God. They're going to worship God. They're going to sing praises to God. Even when it's hard. And let me tell you, even when it's hard, not 5 days from now, not from the hardship, not a day from now, but in the moment, we'll somehow say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I had experience once. I was really upset. And I was walking out of this place, and God said, are you going to thank me for this one? And I said, not this one. What kind of guy does that? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was an impression. Maybe it was God. I believe it was God. Hey, you don't have to like it. Did Paul like being beat? Did Job like what happened to him? Oh, Lord, I don't like this one, but I'm going to thank you for it. And I'm going to thank you in it, however you feel comfortable. Some of you may be right now be uncomfortable in thanking God for it, but I can thank Him in it. And that's okay. That's good. And I'm just telling you, miracles follow. Blessings follow. If I would just, I forgot my easy button. If I would just go hit that easy button, that thank you button, and God work in a heartbeat. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God glorified His name? Yes, because God said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it in your circumstances. And that's why Jesus said, it says of Jesus, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews chapter 12. He saw the joy. James saw the joy. Somehow, Job saw it. Somehow, Silas, Paul and Silas saw the joy before them. And endured the trial and gave praise to God. Amen. And so can you and me. You and I, sorry. We can do this. And what a better way to start it right now, Thanksgiving week in 2022, that says we're coming to an end of a week this week, and we're going to thank God, right, for all these things. We're going to celebrate. Well, we're going to do a whole lot more than just thank God, right? I mean, we're going to be celebrating and eating and watching ball games, and we're doing all that stuff. But will we be a grateful people? We'll be grateful people. Listen, this is how it breaks down. In everything, give thanks. The word is eucharisteo. And like you've seen just now, there's lots of places where it's hard, it's difficult, and people just thank him, these wonderful things happen. So he says, give thanks in what? In everything. In means you're pointing to time, you're pointing to the place, and you're pointing to the state. In everything, the state of your circumstances, everything is all things, whatever is happening, always, in every place, every time, no matter what, for everything. Again, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it's easy, even when it's certain, uncertain. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks. Watch. For everything. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you. Now, I just want to suggest you a couple of things about it. Number one, it's God's will to thank him for everything. That's no question, okay? This is God's will. This is God's plan. Thank you. Thank him for everything. And then I think it's God's will, because of all these passages of Scripture, it's God's will that you're going through what you're going through. So in everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think that's marvelous, because we already know where we're headed, right? We talked about this 4 weeks ago when we looked at Romans 8:28. We know that the Spirit is interceding us with groanings too deep for words, because he's praying for us according to the will of God. And then Father God is doing what? He's working it all together for our good. And the good is explained. For whom he predestined, he called to be conformed to the image of his Son. This promise of not only justifying us, but glorifying us in Christ Jesus. It's where we're headed. We're headed toward Christ-likeness. That's our hope. And the Bible says the reason why you go through trial is to get us to those places. He loves us enough to get us to those places. We know where we're headed. Philippians 2:13 says it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Just like we talked about, disaster follows ungrateful hearts. You know, we read that, the wrath of God. Notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And then faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I just want to say this in closing, that the power of thank you, it may not ever change your circumstances, but it will always change your perspective. Thanking God for everything has nurtured me to a fullness of life, hands down. It turns what we have into enough and even more. Thanksgiving turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. Thanksgiving turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger or enemy into a friend. It makes sense of our past, and it brings peace for the day, right now. Thanksgiving, you have a grasp for what God's will is for your life. You have a growing faith in the providence of God. You're willing to look foolish, to thank him for things and worship him in things that don't look like something you should be worshiping God about. It means you're willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which is in reality where they already are. It means you see and confess Jesus as Lord. It means you choose to see the good, this good God and what he's accomplishing. You choose to be happy. If not deliriously happy, you at least find contentment. You put off grumbling, complaint, discontentment, thanking God for all that he's given and all that he's doing. You believe your circumstance furthers the will of God and the expansion of the gospel. You choose to be led by the Spirit according to his word, and you're willing to be a greater vessel for his glory. When you thank God for everything, you find out the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but it comes from the hand of God. You'll suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord, and your ache seems to be relieved. As you know that for the believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of mourning, a shout of joy comes in the morning. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I want to thank you for your word that does not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire. And I pray that this word would accomplish the work in every precious soul in this place right now, right here. And although we're not promising the change in circumstances, although we've seen that over and over and over, we are knowing that you can change the perspective of what we're watching and looking and see you work in miraculous ways. Oh God, remove the ungratefulness from our heart. Remove the complaint, the grumbling, the fault finding. And may we worship you and you alone, not only when it's great, but when it's really hard and difficult. Because we believe that blessing and miracles follow grateful hearts. This Thanksgiving, may we really, really thank you. Because we do, in all of our trial and all of our struggle and all of the things that have gone on this year in our lives, we have so much to be thankful for. And that much is in Jesus, in who he is and what he has done and how he has blessed us beyond measure. May we worship you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's the invitation today. What is God speaking to your heart right now, right here? What is something that you would right now even dare to worship God in and thank God for? What is it? Would you go do that today? Would you do that? Would you worship him in all of your circumstances? And I'm going to tell you this. I really believe this. And Thanksgiving will be a great, great day for us. Grateful hearts, not ungrateful. Let's stand together if we do that. I want to remind you that we have our dinner. It's ready. I think, man, just get down there. Well, greet one another first. And let's fellowship together as a church in all that God is doing and has done in our lives. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. The peace of Jesus, which is a Prince of Peace. And may you go in peace. May guard your going and your coming. And may this season be the greatest peaceful season of your life. In the name of Jesus, amen.